Good morning. Welcome. A few announcements. So there are letters in the vestry. Don't forget to pick them up if you haven't already. Take a look there before you leave. I want to thank John Seisland and his team for the great breakfast last week. There is 150 merch. I think I've given you, most of you, your t-shirts that you ordered. The 150 mugs are separate, so I will be in the Sterling Vestry with those mugs. I only have a box of 36 right now. More are coming this week. So if you don't need it today, if you can leave it, that would be great. But if you really need it today, please take them, because I don't want to have 36 mugs sitting there today. You can take your mugs. And thank you to the Altar Guild for all the beautiful decorations. Thank you. And Beth has an announcement. There she is.
Just to bring your attention to the empty box over by Jim Circum this morning. It's for toonies, for turkeys, for Epiphany. We're not opposed to you putting in a fiver, tenner. Or the green one, you know, that says 20. We'll take anything, but it's that time of year when there are so many going without. We who are so blessed can share. And the other thing was, I'm going to reiterate what Barb said, was please pick up your Christmas envelopes in the Sterling Vestry. It just saves the church a little bit of postage. Thank you.
Thank you. If you've been with us the past two Sundays, you'll remember all of the preludes that have been composed by Peter Clements. And this was our third of the preludes for Advent written by Peter. And it was very timely for this Sunday. It's based on an Israeli folk tune, and it's from our hymn book. And it has the title, Joy Shall Come. Joy shall come even to the wilderness, and the parched land shall know great gladness. And this being the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, rejoice, it fit in just beautifully as an opening prelude for the service. So thanks to Peter for playing and for composing.
From the Christ who was, is, and shall be, grace and peace be with you.
As we hope for your arrival, as we pray for peace in your living, as we wait and watch and wonder how you might reveal yourself to us, O God, give us joy in your advent.
Joy is not something that can be bought or sold, but lives deep in the human spirit. Help us to hear the truth and believe it, to let go of what our consumer culture says will bring us happiness.
If we've robbed others of what they need in our clamor for more than our own share, forgive us. Help us to hear the call of John the Baptist to turn around and begin again.
God of all, we were made in joy. May we live in joy.
Light the candle for joy. May it light the way.
Let us pray. God of power and mercy, you call us once again to celebrate the coming of your Son. Remove those things which hinder love of you, that when he comes, he may find us waiting in awe and wonder. For him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall bind up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities and the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and has covered me with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown into it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before the nations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Of Zion, then we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. The Lord has done great things for us. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. The Lord has done great things for us. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering the sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us.
Has
sent me to bring good news to the poor. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Rejoice. Rejoice. It's a good thing to do. This Sunday in the church year is known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is the Latin word for rejoice, and this Sunday gets its name from the ancient monastic chant that was sung in the beginning of the service. The very first word that you'd hear coming into church on a Sunday like this would be this glorious Gregorian riff on rejoice. It's a weird place to put it because we're in the season of Advent. And for many, many years, Advent was the mini Lent. It was a very penitential service, a very penitential season where we were thinking about all the things we need to do to get right for Jesus' coming. But the church, in its wisdom or in its tradition, maybe both, has put into both of our seasons a little bit of a time of lightness. The color that was used for all of the vestments in Lent is purple, and up until very recently, it was also purple for Advent. And what happens if you add just a little bit less of that dark dye to something? Well, you get something shiny that's a dusty rose color. Not pink, it's dusty rose. For those of you listening online, I am breaking with St. James tradition because I am wearing a dusty rose chasuble for what I think might be the first time in this congregation. But there's a reason to it, and it's to visually recognize that this Sunday is a little bit different. It's a little bit off character from the other Sundays of getting ready. It's a time to recognize that joy does not come just at the end of getting ready, but also in the middle of it. Joy comes when we least expect it, and joy comes in very unexpected ways. We are told in our services that there is peace and joy that pass all understanding, And I often think that, okay, that just means there's a lot of joy. But I can kind of understand a lot of joy, more than I can count. And I don't think that is what it means to find peace and joy that's beyond understanding. I think finding peace and joy that's beyond understanding is finding it in the midst of our everyday life. Finding it in the midst of where we are, in our preparations. For some, this is the first Christmas season without a loved one. For some, there is sickness or other struggle or adversity that makes it very hard to rejoice on days like this. And instead of just saying, oh yeah, yeah, it'll get better later, the church gives us the message, Jesus gives us the message, that in the midst of everything, joy can be found. That joy is there. That joy is breaking in. And it might not, probably won't, definitely will not be what we expect. But joy is present, not just at the end of our preparations, but in the midst of it. Last Sunday, I talked about John the Baptist, who was covered in camel hair, a robe around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey, a kind of scary individual. That was Mark's story of John the Baptist. This Sunday, we hear John's story of John the Baptist. And John, of all the Gospels, tends to see things not in human terms, but in spiritual terms. If you look at our stained glass window beside the road to Emmaus, you'll see four little blue squares, and on them is a different creature. One is a person, one's a lion, one's an ox, and one is an eagle. Now those, in countless centuries, have been representing the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John is always represented by the eagle, because it's said that the eagle is the only animal that can stare into the sun and not be blinded. It's a way of describing the Gospel of John as the most spiritual of the Gospels, the most one that sees the average world, the normal world, and sees through it into what God is doing. And what do we hear in John's Gospel about John the Baptist? Not what he was eating or what he was wearing. We hear what John thought of John's self. They asked him, are you the Messiah? He says, no. Are you Elijah? Nope. Are you the prophet? No. Who do you say you are? The voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. That is a wonderful thing. It means the Lord is coming, but it's also a terrifying thing, because what will God find when God arrives? The joy that John has is a joy that is not like getting something on Christmas morning. It's a joy of completion. It's a new kind of joy that will help us recognize that good things, the right things, are breaking into our lives. It's a call and an invitation for each and every one of us to look and wonder and try to figure out what this unintelligible, unfigure-outable joy is. We get to sit in the mystery of God. A God who is so far beyond our comprehension and so far beyond our sight, it's like staring into the sun. But we know there's joy in there. That's the promise. That's the invitation that things can and will be better than we've ever asked or imagined. Things will be new and wonderful in a way that we don't quite understand yet. As I get older and older, Christmas tends to lose a little bit of its sparkle. I now worry about, am I spending enough or not enough? Am I making sure I've got all the Christmas list filled or not filled? It becomes more of a hassle sometimes. But all of us are invited to enter the joy of God like a little child who comes downstairs on Christmas morning, who sees the wrapping, who sees the beautiful decorations, and their heart overflows that something beautiful has happened. And we don't quite understand how it happened. We don't understand necessarily why. But we know that goodness, beyond asking or imagining, is coming. As people of faith, as Christians, we recognize the call of Jesus in our lives, that even in the busyness, even in whatever situation you find yourself in now, there is joy. There is a joy that calls on you to make straight all the crooked places, to make that the shortest path possible between you and our Savior. There is joy if we can just grab hold of it. It doesn't always look the way that we think it should. It doesn't always feel the way that we think joy should feel. But the promise of God is it's there. And the blessing that we have from one another is that we are here to help each other discover it. What you can see as joy, I might never have considered it that. We need each other as we explore our lives, explore what's on the other side of our lives, the spirituality that's breaking in. Let us not be afraid to look at the sun, even though it might hurt. This is metaphor. Even though it might hurt, there is good things, there is beauty, and there is brightness. Let us not be afraid to soar with eagles and see and proclaim the breaking in of our Lord and the joy that that will bring. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to please stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'd invite you to adopt a position of prayer.
Holy One, You restore the dignity of the dishonored, the liberty of those who are bound, and the joy of the desolate. Hear us in our time of waiting and expectation, so that Your joy may fill us. Light of the world, God in our flesh and blood,
we rejoice that You are very near.
For the Church throughout the world we pray. For those persecuted for their faith and for those who use their faith to persecute others. For Christians, Jews, Muslims, and people of all traditions who seek the divine and aspire to love the world as You do. Keep us receptive to Your true prophets, who speak truth to power, who may scare us or call us to account, or challenge our status quo, or give us a glimpse of our worth. And when we are called to be Your voice crying out in the wilderness, help us to be steadfast, authentic, and faithful to You. Light of the world, God in our flesh and blood,
we rejoice that You are very near.
Proclaimer of freedom, when You cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations, what might that look like in our day? Will it look like climate justice, basic needs and safety for all, less disparity between those who have and those who want? Will it look like truth and reconciliation on every continent and caution in the colonization of space? In a moment of silence, we pray for the world, for the needs we know and for needs unknown to us. Light of the world, God in our flesh and blood,
we rejoice that You are very near.
We pray for the needs that are near us
in London, in Wortley Village, along the river, and in this parish. May there be good news for the oppressed and the depressed, tender care and healing for broken hearts of every kind, true freedom for captives in body, mind, or spirit, and liberation for those imprisoned in jails or in beliefs that harm and separate. Especially we pray your healing for Eunice Smith, for Sylvia Brightwell, for Frida, a friend of Eunice, for Robert Janoska, for Ashley, the niece of Beth Kingan, for Gavin, grandson of Grania Shearer, and for Sean. Light of the world, God in our flesh and blood, we rejoice that you are very near. We pray for those who have died, that they may know joy in your presence. For those who are near to death, that they may have confident hope in you. And for all who mourn, that you will, in time, turn their sadness to joy. Light of the world, God in our flesh and blood, we rejoice that you are very near. Thank you for the gift of joy that is more than pleasure or the delight that lasts as long as the batteries in a new toy. May we be ones who dream again, fueled by your joy that elevates our life with purpose. May everything we have sown in tears be harvested in joyful laughter through the power of Jesus, infant and Messiah. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what you have done and by what you have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we come in repentance. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of hope, renew in us the joy of your salvation and make us a living sacrifice to you for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through your prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take all.
Please stand. And let us pray. Merciful God, may this Eucharist free us from our sins and fill us with unending joy and prepare us for the birthday of our Savior. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord now and forever. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Be steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and untiring in love all the days of your life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in joy to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.